Welcome to the Pratt on Texas, Texas Hour podcast. Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country. Now to today's edition of Pratt on Texas. Welcome to the home for Texas political and news analysis without an out-of-state corporate management muzzle. It's Pratt on Texas with Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a donor or management-controlled muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day. Lubbock County Commissioner Jason Corley discusses the odd, angry, knee-jerk reaction of the county judge and others to putting in place simple regulations on these so-called game rooms. Why are the county's top law enforcement folk, the sheriff and DA, so uninterested when we know that these places have been a problem statewide for a very long time? Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. DOT-regulated drivers, owner-operators, get right with the rules. Line up your required random drug testing program with Allied Compliance Services. You'll be a valued client, and they'll be on call to help when you need it. Reach them at AlliedCompliance.com. That interview with Jason Corley coming up as the second half of the show today. We've another anti-wimp update. A man's gun control was better than the gun control of two armed home invaders. Also, Clay County Sheriff Jeffrey Lyde has been indicted in this long-running multiple-incident saga there in Clay County in Texoma. Listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and other interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. We praise the Lord for this story, not in Texas, but it's very important out of Washington State, that Joseph Kennedy, the high school assistant football coach who was fired 8 years ago, by the local school district for praying on the field with students, has been returned to his job and will receive $1.78 million in settlement. The Bremerton School District in Washington voted to approve the settlement, which covers attorney's fees in the big legal battle that reached the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled that the public school violated the First Amendment by placing Kennedy on administrative leave in response to his prayer. The sad thing is that these individuals who do this will be paying the penalty with taxpayer money and will not really suffer any blowback at all. And this is a real problem we have right now in this blacklisting culture. The people who go about it often don't face any consequences, even when they're adjudicated to have been in the wrong. Roommate arrested after a man found dead following a house fire. This is from KXAN in Austin. Turns out a guy, the firefighters came, they found a guy with 36-year-old man with stab wounds in a burning house. Cops found the roommate, and apparently he admitted to trying to burn the house down to destroy the evidence. Good grief. A Houston father, so-called, charged with the murder of a 2-year-old daughter following a chase and a standoff. Fox News reporting this happened Monday. A guy picked up his little girl from daycare, and he was authorized to do so, then went to Walmart where the child's mother works and got in an argument with her. He assaulted her there, allegedly, took her phone and left the store in the red Camaro with the child. Then what goes is they were tracking him. The family was using the GPS in his phone, and they had information from family members the child was still in the vehicle and that the father was physically abusing the child. So they had a big, big chase. They finally got him stopped after he tried to drive through a field and the vehicle broke down. When they got to the car, the Sheriff Gonzalez says the child was in, quote, pretty bad shape. SWAT approached the vehicle, took Flanagan into custody. Child was unresponsive. They tried CPR, but the child died later at Memorial Hermann Hospital. Horrible. Charged with murder. Alleged serial rapist arrested a second time after being released hours following the initial arrest. This is from WFAA. It's out of Dallas, but it goes back to 2005, where this guy, just a brutal rape, pulled a woman off a bus and took her in a field, brutally raped her. They never got this and figured it out. They got the DNA hit, though. And now he's been given a high bond. But back then, at that rate, they found this guy anyway. He was arrested. He was later for another thing. He was given a high bond and if released placed on an ankle monitor. That's what police asked for. But some, you know, lefty jail magistrate set the bond very low, didn't require an ankle monitor. And now they're figuring out within 16 hours he committed this other rape, and there's more. And now they've connected him to at least 10 rapes just inside the city of Dallas alone. So a major serial criminal. Henrietta, businessman indicted on robbery charges. It's a story that we covered back when it happened. And it all has to do with this Clay County Sheriff Lied being indicted. The regular newspaper people love to, if they even when they think they're being nice, they call somebody that doesn't work for the press outlet a citizen journalist. I'm sorry, putting up your own Facebook page is just as big a deal as having a local newspaper. But there is no official stamp that you're press. But anyway, grand jury there has indicted a prominent businessman, William Justice O'Malley, for a robbery charge. This has to do with back when one of the locals who covers these things and puts it up online was there covering the sheriff coming up. She's streaming it live when he arrived after some of this stuff has come up. Anyway, this guy got out of an SUV, walked up aggressively to her, grabbed her, actually committed some, you know, allegedly, at least based on the descriptions in the Times Record News piece, may have certainly committed at least Class C assault because he did apparently make contact with her. But he took her phone, threw it up on, that she was using to film with, and threw it up on top of the library. Some constables arrested him. He's now been indicted by a grand jury there on this issue. You just can't do that kind of thing, folks. And there are a lot of officials that think they have that kind of power. And it's just shocking to me. Sort of like when you find these videos of police telling people that are just in plain view in a plain public area that they can't film them somewhere. You wonder what training they got or didn't get on what this country's about. But then again, we've lost our schools and who knows. So the big story by Trish Choate at the Times Record News out of Wichita Falls, a grand jury returned indictments against Clay County Sheriff Jeffrey Lied, who's currently in suspension because of just the ongoing litany of problems, accusing him of unlawfully keeping a couple in jail and hiding records that should have been allowed their release. Trish writes, in his latest legal snarls, Lied was indicted on charges of tampering with a government document and was re-indicted on charges of official oppression in connection with that case of the man and woman held in jail in July of 2021. The grand jury handed down two indictments with two counts each against Lied. And interim sheriff is Kirk Horton right now. The Lied also faces, you know, this was the later one, three charges of official oppression related to sexual harassment, and one charge of official oppression connected to assaulting a woman accusations involved three women who work in the sheriff's office. There, so, you know, and of course there's a bunch of people, and, oh, he's a great guy and looks like a good guy, talks like a big Trump conservative and all that. This guy, he's just surrounded with this kind of stuff, and it's not good, but local grand jury indicting him on some of these things, my friends. Today in Texas history, in 1836, the 60-ton armed schooner Liberty, commanded by William S. Brown, seized the brig Durango in Matagorda Bay. Problem was, the Durango was owned by New Orleans mercantile house with big interest in the Texas trade and kind of became a big problem with the U.S. and everything out. And there were later claims paid on this for $11,750 plus accrued interest in that incident was closed in 1838. The U.S. and Texas entered into a convention of indemnity over it. It's also when the Coxey's Army arrived in El Paso in 1894. It was a big march on Washington, and it fell apart there and never made it really past the El Paso area. Our look at Texas history sponsored by USA Investigations. Find out more at usainvestigations.net. They'll provide investigations, criminal and civil, witness interviews and statements, surveillance, employment background checks, and more. We'll be back in a moment with Pratt on Texas, my friends.
It's the talk of Texas. Pratt on Texas.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Need attachments on your skid steer to street sweep, pallet forks, brush cutter, snow blades, or land levelers? West Texas Attachments can help you today. West Texas Attachments is your go-to on all skid steer attachments. Rent or buy, westtexasattachments.com has attachments for every type of skid steer job. Rock and brush attachments, manure forks for dairies and cow lots. westtexasattachments.com delivers when you need it. Go to westtexasattachments.com.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans. Employers are looking for solutions, and my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution.
With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. HurleyBenefits.com.
The name may be Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, but these guys have repeat customers across the country. Why? Because they save you serious money. Mike Crafton and Jason Duncan specialize in finding and reconditioning quality work trucks, including heavy-duty pickups, utility-bodied trucks, bucket trucks, and more. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock can get you the work truck you need and save you money. You can see inventory online at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com or request them to find the truck you need. Talk to Mike or Jason at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
He thinks prairie dogs should be kept around for economic development. Hunting is big business. Now more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Two stories upon which I wish to comment. One is from the Houston Chronicle, updated this morning by Anna Baldwin, staff writer there. And it's another part of the Houston Chronicle's propaganda campaign trying to gin up ridiculous, completely unfounded and silly fears amongst the people of Houston, particularly minority communities, over the Texas Education Agency's takeover, finally, after years and years and years of discussing it and trying it, of the Houston ISD, which is ill-managed and has schools in these communities that, I mean, the standards are so low that it's embarrassing to begin with, but schools haven't met even the basic standards for many, many years. But worse than this, when the Houston Chronicle lies, I mean outright lies to the public. Houston ISD parents, community leaders demand answers at chaotic TEA forum. Now, it was chaotic because the room was filled. Look, this is the biggest school district in Texas. You'd expect thousands of people at these public hearings if this was really such a big deal and the people of Houston didn't know it. No, you got much, much smaller people, and it wasn't that even a crowd. And, you know, as soon as they start talking, these are all regular left-wing Democrat street-level agitators. Part of the story says Alejandro Delgado, deputy commissioner at the TEA, started the meeting with a presentation about the state-appointed board of managers. It was soon interrupted. Someone in the audience yelling, "We got questions. We want to know about our schools, our people, our communities." Others began shouting to, "Everybody here has questions. We don't want to talk to you," somebody shouted. In other words, and then U.S. Rep, Congresswoman, that complete moron, Sheila Jackson Lee, she was there at about 40 minutes in, stood up and told, "Oh, we got to know more." And, you know, and they all applauded her. It was nothing but a gathering of left. You know, there may have been a few concerned parents there, but mostly these were the regular political agitators. And the Houston Chronicle continues to mislead with their scare tactics over this thing. It's almost like, well, they're going to, you know, we're just going to close all the schools down in the city. It's just crazy. That's not what a state takeover means. But they lied to people because right above describing that, the writer Anna Baumann wrote, "The state takeover announcement, which follows a years-long court battle." So again, none of this is new to anybody. So just drop the pretense, Chronicle, of, "Oh, this is a shocking development," sparked outrage that carried over Tuesday night into a tense public meeting in the crowded Westbury High School auditorium. That's right, she wrote, the crowded Westbury. I looked at all their photos. That place is probably not 35% full, maybe 40. I'm being generous when I just stipulate that it's 50% full. In every close-up shot, which is what you use to hide that kind of thing when it's a low turnout, There are more, you can count far more empty chairs than you count human beings in even the close-up shots. So they had one that was kind of far back, and it's very clear that the place. So see, they're hyping this. This is what I mean about propaganda. This is outright lying. A crowded, she couldn't say full, so she chose crowded, but it's not crowded. It looks to be well over 50% empty spread out across this auditorium. It was just the regular political activist, and this is what you get. And why you cannot trust, you know, that's why I know they weren't being rude at the Times Record News. They were actually being very polite about citizen journalists, even describing what it means. But it's this arrogance. Well, I work for a newspaper. I'm a real journalist. What do you mean? You're just another propagandist. You know, and your newspaper's a propaganda outlet for the most part. And then here's another one I wanted to comment on very quickly. Josephine Peterson, Dallas Morning News today. Dallas County cuts 101 voting locations for May elections. The election administrator Scarpello said the number of registered voting centers has been whittled. From 470 to 369. The commissioner's court on Tuesday approved closing 101 locations. Saves money. Isn't it funny? That's the local city election in May. Well, we close one location in a partisan election, and these Democrat-run entities go all out in the media, and their media echoes them on this is racist, that all we're doing is trying to keep people from voting. But you notice this happens. Well, you don't notice. I notice it happens in all these cities and all the other elections. They cut them down too. And when it's not one of the big, you know, November elections, it's no big deal. They're all for it. The Democrats on the commissioner's courts, the city councils, they're always for it. It's not a problem. But anytime you just cut one, and, you know, and the whole story goes into how, well, you know, the people move and we're looking at turnout. When we made the argument about turnout, you don't need as many places and places where people don't turn out. Oh, well, they don't turn out because they're poor and minority and you're racist and you're trying to stop votes. This is what we get every time. And Republicans and other uninformed people who fall for this stuff are just showing themselves to be fools because they don't pay attention. What a jack bleep argument that is all the time. It's used all the time and used in the nastiest, ugliest way by the lefty in the media, lefties in the media across the state towards the rest of us that are simply trying to make the election more efficient and get the election locations where they need to be. All right, my friends, we've got an anti-wimp update for you. Garland man's gun control was better than two home invaders. Some residents of the Woodlands at the Preserve apartment complex in Garland were awakened by gunfire at 2:30 Saturday morning. Resident reported to police that two men forced their way into his apartment and began shooting. Returning fire in self-defense, the resident clearly did a better job of gun control as police, upon their arrival, found the two home invaders dead at the scene. He was very cooperative with us. He was giving us information that these guys had forced their way into the apartment and began shooting at him, said Matt Pesta with the Garland Police Department. We still have to verify everything that he's saying, so obviously the investigation goes on, but no charges have been filed. All the better for Dallas County. All the better for Texas. Little news, my friends, out of the troubled Tarrant Appraisal District. You know, Charlie Guerin, representative, filed a bill just to eliminate it. They've been playing fast and loose with the top people there after all the terrible treatment of people and everything else, some of the local governments wanting new leadership. The Texas Scorecard, Aaron Anderson, reporting that taxpayers are getting at least a little bit of accountability. The head of the appraisal district's board, Catherine Willeman, will be recalled from office, which ends the chance that the directors could just put her back on the board, which is what it looked like they were going to do. She resigned after some of this, although they're going to keep their controversial chief appraiser, Jeff Law, even though there have been revelations he unilaterally acted to declare the recall process canceled and all kinds of other things. I think they're going to make him go through some kind of training or what they call the repair process. The whole thing is a mess, and it's just a perfect example of the arrogance and the tyranny and arrogance that appears in local government. You know, it may be better that government that governs locally is better than far away. But my friends, there is no, it's the same human beings. And oftentimes the local government tyranny is worse than you get in other cases. The legislature is having some big hearings on some key stuff. It's got the liberals all upset. We'll get to those items in The coming days, we may do a podcast extra just to get through some of the stack as well. Upcoming, the big Lubbock County controversy, we visit with Commissioner Jason Corley here on Pratt on Texas.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
Do you have a commercial property for sale or lease? Tired of a for sale sign gathering dirt, storm, dust in front of your place with no activity and no prospects? Office, retail, restaurant, or industrial? Call me, Carl Tepper, a commercial agent with Exit Realty of Lubbock. I'm low on inventory because I've sold and leased everything. I'll get your property sold too. Call me, Carl Tepper, at 806-470-2354 for a no obligation appointment. That's 806-470-2354.
It's hard to explain why my greatest customer service experience wasn't at a luxury resort or private club, but was going to the dentist in Costa Rica, Dr. Silvia Zuniga of Dental Care. There are big Costa Rica practices which, while saving you big money, work just like they do here, herding patients through as fast as possible to increase billings. That's not how Dr. Silvia Zuniga works. Silvia's practice is purposely small and personal with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. My entire trip cost us less than half my lowest quote at home, including hotel for a week, restaurants, airfare for both of us, and local transport, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years, and now you can visit Texas Tech's new Costa Rica campus nearby. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
From the statehouse to the courthouse, they know Pratt's watching. Here he comes with more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. We have with us now Lubbock County Commissioner Precinct 2 Jason Corley to talk about this game room ordinance issue. This has been a problem. Many counties, as I've said, around the state, including Democrat counties, have been busting these game rooms down for years. In other words, the illegal operations. These have been a problem. It's not new. It was a statewide problem so big that we had some big court cases over what defined gambling. And then the legislature about a decade ago handed counties an ability to regulate these places because in many cases they were just plain outright illegal gambling operations, and many others. They have been found to be sort of nexus points for crime of every type. Doesn't mean every game room is or every operator is, but it is pretty fairly prevalent. I remember Ector County, the DA raiding these game rooms. Lots of places have been doing this. Commissioner Corley, I told the audience you came to me, and I think it was over 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And we were just talking about some of the problems out there in the county, and this is one you and I spoke about privately, just not even really a big political discussion. I think we were just kind of getting together after several years of really not having visited with each other, and we talked about this, and I said there's a problem here. These things are everywhere. They're out in odd places. They're out where nobody can observe. It's not good. And anyway, Commissioner Kovar told KCBD Television in an interview this week that you talked to him. He knew you were working on this over 2 years ago, so this certainly isn't something new. The idea of an ordinance isn't something sprung upon people with no idea. It's something discussed a lot amongst commissioners and county judges associations, and other counties have been doing it. And you've come forward this year with an ordinance. Very briefly, tell us what the ordinance does.
So what this ordinance will do is it will give the county the ability to control the locations of where these game rooms can be. The game rooms will only be allowed on highway frontage roads. That gets them out of the neighborhoods. It gets them away from the schools. It also controls the times they can be open. So on the weekdays, they can open at 10 a.m. and they have to close at 11 o'clock. And then we'll let them stay open a little bit later on Friday and Saturday. But that's it. So you're controlling the hours of operation, but where they can be located. But the key thing here is knowing who the owner is. So if you have a problem, you know who to go to. Who do you assess the fine to? Who's going to jail because this thing is operating illegally? And the most important thing, I think, is it limits the number of game rooms per population. One game room per 30,000 people in Lubbock County. So that's going to give you 10 game rooms.
Is that something the legislature provided for, that number?
Or is the legislature says that we can regulate the number of the game rooms. But okay. From what I've seen before with different lawsuits, the way it goes, you really need to have a metric. You can't just go out and say, we're going to have 10. Well, why 10? Well, I like 10. No, I want to pick a number, 30,000. Now people have to argue whether or not is one per 30,000 good enough, or does it need more or less? It's difficult to legislate. It's difficult for somebody to take you to court on and win.
All right, I got you on that. And this has to do with where they're placed, how long they operate, because now a lot of these are running 24 hours a day. They're even in some neighborhoods. They're in some business parks. I have personally witnessed this as a problem where all of a sudden – a nice little business shopping strip with a good little local restaurant and stuff. All of a sudden, their parking lot's covered up with, well, I can't call them criminals, but it sure looked like the criminal element. They began to have windows broken, lots of problems, and it was all because a game room moved in next door. And then later, the game room moved on. It doesn't mean all operators are that way, but it has been a real problem for people.
So a game room is an entertainment venue, whether you like it or not, that's what it is. But an entertainment venue does not belong in an industrial area. It does not belong in a storage building complex. It doesn't belong in a residential area. You know, it doesn't belong next door to a fuel depot. We've got one of those in Slayton that is a constant problem.
Well, I'm not going to mince words. I know you're an elected official. I'm going to say these things are a fairly undesirable operation to begin with. Whether one of the owners takes offense at that or not, I don't care. I know the people sitting there and that can afford it the least sitting there and spend all their paycheck. Well, Pratt, that's liberty. Yeah, but we don't have to let it ruin everybody else that chooses not to participate. And that's a situation we've gotten ourselves in. My point, Commissioner Corley, is that this has been a known problem for many, many years. And there are a lot of strong, big name Lubbock civic leaders who aren't particularly forward in politics, but in the background, who for years, when it's been brought up and we've been discussing and it just comes up, they tell me the same thing that's happened to me. When you ask about it, you sort of get the brush off. And of course, they don't read the state's press like I do every day, knowing that even in Democrat jurisdictions, there have been DAs that have been raiding these things and seizing them because they were operating as illegal, you know, slot machine gambling places. This has been going on everywhere. Well, it hasn't locally, so they don't hear about it. People, and I ask, well, what's the deal? And they say, well, I asked so-and-so, some big name. We really don't want to mess with that. And it brings me to the point, somebody's been protecting the game rooms, and I don't know who, and maybe that's not a question for you. But what's interesting is in Lubbock County, you came forward with this proposal for a very simple-to-understand deal, and immediately you publicly have massive opposition from the county judge and two commissioners and the sheriff in the first meeting. And what's behind this knee jerk extreme reaction to this. And then behind the scenes, these same people, they say one thing in the public forum. In the background, they've been trying to demean you and make claims about you that you're doing this to protect somebody, which, you know, give a friend of yours a leg up over competitors, which, of course, the ordinance itself puts the lie to that because all existing operators are grandfathered into this. What's behind this extreme opposition to regulating these? Because this is something you'd think Lubbock County would have done 10 years ago.
So what you'll hear said a lot of times in government is that you know, tell elected officials this, you need to stay in your lane. I would stay in my lane if it wasn't spilling over into it. But this is an issue. This is what my constituents call me about, and we need to do something. You're right. The sheriff and the DA's office, they should be leading the charge. They should be the ones that are getting this done. And to your point about elected officials just brushing this stuff off because they don't want to deal with it, there is not a single person who was ever elected to make easy decisions. You know, if you want to make friends, you want to make people happy, sell ice cream. You want to make the world a better place, run for political office, and get something done. But if you're not going to get something done, then get out of it.
Well, but stay in your lane. This is in your lane. The legislature specifically gave the counties, and that would be the county commissioners, the tools to regulate, to allow them to regulate these game rooms. So this is certainly in your lane, definitely. And it's certainly in the lane of law enforcement, especially given the shootings and the drug dealing and all the other, and the fact that some of these places we just know from experience across the state are operating illegally. They are not following the law. I don't know which ones, but that's a real problem. Why would there not? You've got county government and a county judge that seems to want to grow county government in every direction. But when it comes to this basic law enforcement thing that's been a real nuisance for people, it's almost as if it was radioactive. And I don't understand, because to me it makes it appear that somebody's either on the take or for some ideological, philosophical, or other reason is protecting these game room operators. We have some real problem with these people. And I don't get it. Why is such nasty and vicious behind the scenes anger at you for bringing this up? What, do you have any thoughts?
I have no earthly idea why somebody would do that. But, I had somebody say, well, Corley's just doing this to try to benefit some game room owner that he knows. No, the game room owners don't like me. They don't want regulations.
Right.
Some of them don't want it. They don't want me around. I had one of them trying to stop by my house and catch me there. They're not a fan of mine. But it does beg the question: Is somebody protecting this operation, this industry? What's going on there?
Well, it's made me think that for a long time. I'm interrupting because the clock's got us. I want to come back. Can you come back for another segment?
Oh, no problem.
All right, we'll be back in a moment with more with Commissioner Jason Corley on Pratt on Texas.
Pratt on Texas returns after we hear from the folks who make the show possible.
Join the Lubbock Sportsman's Club for a meeting featuring Mark Fullingham as he discusses his Marco Polo and Mid-Asian Ibex hunt in the Tian Shan Mountains of eastern Kyrgyzstan. The hunts themselves were at elevations from 14 to 16,000 feet. There's no charge to attend a meeting. Come learn and socialize. Thursday, March 30th, 6:30 p.m. at Cook's Garage, Highway 87 and 114th. The Lubbock Sportsman's Club, Thursday, March 30th at Cook's Garage.
Hey now, I'm Robert Campbell with Campbell Containers. Have you ever thought about incorporating a shipping container into a new barn or shop like the one we have here at Campbell Containers? Or maybe you just need some extra storage space at your home, farm, or deer lease. Stop by Campbell Containers and look at our inventory. We're on I-20 between Abilene and Clyde at the exit 297, or give me a call, 325-518-3309, or check us out at CampbellContainers.com.
If it moves in your warehouse or business with battery power, Texas Battery will keep it moving. Texas Battery is your source for the right battery for material handling equipment, from forklifts and scissor lifts to newer autonomous warehouse machines. If it moves with battery power, Texas Battery will keep it moving with the correct batteries. Rely on Texas Battery to keep your supply chain moving. Texas starts with TexasBattery.com. TexasBattery.com. That's TexasBattery.com.
At Thacker Jewelry, we believe in hometown service. When you walk through our doors, we want you to feel welcome and at home. An incredible story lives inside each and every piece of jewelry at Thacker's. As a West Texas jeweler, we want to help you express your love and your feeling for your family, for your loved ones, and for the generations to come.
Hello, what do you say? It's a Thacker Jewelry kind of day.
Taking time for Texas, it's Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Visiting with Lubbock County Commissioner Precinct 2, Jason Corley, about these seedy game rooms. I think they're all seedy. They all have the blacked out windows and everything else, but maybe some of them are fine operations. I don't like what they do to people. I mean, it's not even... Nothing in the casino, in the gambling industry, is in the punter's benefit and the customer's benefit. I mean, that's the fact. These things are even worse. They're limited on payouts and everything else to what the old fuzzy animal law. And I don't want to go all through that. But one of the interesting things that Commissioner Corley has in his proposed ordinance is that, okay, to be fair, everybody that's in business right now is grandfathered in, so it doesn't give anybody a leg up. But then you have to register, and you do have to provide some things to register the game room, and of course, as these fall away, to qualify to be one of the ones allowed by law. And it has to do with who actually owns it, because when you're dealing with the type of business like this where money laundering. These are very attractive to money laundering, which means drug trade and other racketeers. That's what it attracts. You often have hidden ownership. And I have noted over the years in the Rio Grande Valley when DAs were going after these places and raiding them and shutting them down. And I remember in Ector County, a lot of places actually, in my press review, there's an issue of who even owns these. Sometimes the ownership is even hidden. You end up arresting a bunch of people. They turn out to all just claim to be some kind of hourly employee, and you never even get the person breaking the law. What about this this ordinance handles that, and why is that important?
So right now with zero regulation, anybody can go out, you can rent a building, you can put whatever you want in it, and you can operate it. And then if the sheriff's office goes in there and has a bust for illegal gambling, well, who owns it? Well, we got a name on a piece of paper. Well, who is this? Well, we got a fake address, or we got a P.O. box. We got nothing to go on for who this guy is. With my proposed ordinance, the actual owner has to come down and register. We have to have your name. We have to have your address. We have to know who you are. So
even if it's in one of these LLCs or anything like that, and they've got a corporate umbrella, your ordinance is going to require them to disclose who the actual controlling interests are, the controlling partners or owners.
If you've got six little shell companies that you're operating this thing out of, you still have to come down here. You still have to figure it out or fill out the forms
in person.
You will be the one that we're coming after if we have illegal problems.
In person, correct? Meaning they can't even use an anonymous agent or registered agent. The ordinance requires the actual controlling owner to make a physical appearance, correct?
Whoever's name is on that paper is the person that we will be coming to if we have a problem. So, and we're going to need to see some ID so that right. We know you are who you say you are.
Well, this is important, ladies and gentlemen. You say, well, Robert, he was describing freedom there. Anybody can open, anybody can rent, except you forget the Texas Constitution prohibits gambling. And I know that keeps getting pushed back, but ladies and gentlemen, I'm with Representative Carl Tepper. I think the whole dang fuzzy animal game room thing is just by the letter of law illegal from top to bottom. But okay, they've had this little window, this little sliver where they can operate. We know that it attracts, well, it's just bad. Even if there's no crime going on, it's essentially a moral crime over how they operate, but that's opinion. But Commissioner, I want to ask you this question. You brought this back on the agenda again. The county judge just keeps slamming the hammer down, shutting you up, doesn't want to deal with this, and they claim, well, we'll deal with this in September, which of course is like, what do we need that? I'm really suspect of this because there's no reason we couldn't just implement this now, unless there are people behind the scenes who need to unwind things, need time to unwind things so that it doesn't become a political public embarrassment or personal embarrassment or something like that. But now that the pressure's on, why is Commissioner Kovar positioning himself to have it both ways, claiming to support an ordinance but delaying it until next fall, especially given that he admitted to KCBD it's not a new issue and you were working on it as much as 2 years ago that he was aware of?
It sounds like he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. If it's a problem and we need to fix it, let's fix it. Why are we waiting? But the other thing in my ordinance, it doesn't take effect until January 1. There are forms that need to be made. There's a couple little procedures that need to be worked out. But we have to give the sheriff's office and the DA's office room to do those things, and you have to give them time.
So in other words, you're not putting the kibosh or making it tough on the sheriff or the DA by adopting the ordinance now. And you can make changes to the ordinance all the way till the end of the year. It still wouldn't be effective until next year.
That's right. January 1 is when it becomes effective. But that's to give them time to sort that stuff out. And I also had told everyone, look, we need to go ahead and get this passed, get this done, and then they can come back and bring us amendments. Because my experience with the DA's office in the last 4 years, if I need something done in a month, it's going to take a year. I had a contract that took 2 years to give a clubhouse to a school. I'll give you the emails for that. I just thought that was ridiculous. So, no, we're going to put it out there. This is done.
So
here's a deadline. Here's a date and time. And you have to have it completed by this time.
Do you have any personal idea? I mean, these things have been a real problem. I know it's just been in the news again because of shootings and things. But it's been a problem for a long time for neighborhoods and all kinds of places. Given what I've told you, that around the state, district attorneys have been very aggressive in many, many counties, urban counties as well as rural counties on these things, Why in Lubbock County has it been crickets? In other words, nothing heard over these years. I think over since the legislature gave us the tools, we've had two different district attorneys. None of them have ever done anything about it. The sheriff's office has been appears to have been completely uninterested. You're working on the inside. You've known it's a problem for several years because you and I discussed it some time ago. What do you gather out of all this?
Oh, anybody with eyes knows it's a problem. And the sheriff's office had told me, well, if we don't know who the owner is, it makes it really difficult to go in there and bust somebody.
Well, that's why we need the ordinance, isn't it? So why
exactly.
do you...
Exactly.
Everything they say demonstrates the need for the ordinance you've put forward, but they seem to not want it. So I've got one last question for you, Commissioner Jason Corley, Precinct 2. How much of this shutting you down and... you know, teaming up with the Democrat and the pseudo Republican so that there's three votes, the county judge we have. How much of all of this is simply juvenile vindictiveness on the part of Judge Parrish carrying out his direct threats to punish you for not supporting his big tax and spending increases and the budget stuff and you know, denying a quorum so that they had to adopt the no new revenue rate? How much of this do you think is just utter childish vindictiveness from Judge Parrish?
Well, you'll have to ask him the next time you have him on the show. I'm not so concerned about the judge, but why can't I get three votes out of three Republicans? You know, we know this needs to happen. This needs to be done. Why are we not doing this?
So, you think you'd have Commissioner Kovar's vote if somebody leased one of those little offices at the front entrance to Lake Ridge or to one of the fine neighborhoods? And look, because right now they can lease it tomorrow if the landlord leases it to them and be running a 24-hour game room with blacked-out windows there. Do you think that would make a difference?
It may sway his opinion if one of those things popped up in the parking lot of Cooper Schools. That would probably, or Friendship ISD.
And there's nothing stopping that right now, is there, Commissioner?
Other than city ordinances, no.
A lot of his place isn't in the city. Yeah,
and
that's it. So do you think that, I mean, early on in the first meetings, the sheriff just seemed extraordinarily against anything and trying to claim... do you think that was more of a position of just once again trying to get more budget? Hey, if we do this, you got to give me more budget. Or do you think there's more to that?
I don't think his staff prepared him for that. I've had multiple meetings with him. I've had a lot of discussions with him. I don't think they prepared him for it.
I don't think it takes much sheriff's department time to enforce this ordinance.
He has a staff of over 500 people. You would think somebody in the admin would have took care of this, and that didn't happen. So.
Very good. Commissioner Jason Corley, Lubbock County Precinct 2, thanks for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Long live Liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.